What's interesting, Carolyn, is that Ion thinks that what goes on payday every Saturday night is a hoodoo evocation of ritual. Ion is pointing out that he is the master of voodoo invocation.
No, 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 voodoo, there's a difference. Voodoo doesn't work. Voodoo does.
I'm playing the Conjure Sacrifice with actual record from the Skeleton Key. And so here's Zion. He thinks that we're evoking the Conjure Sacrifice ritual.
Is there people right that do what Papa Justify and his wife did?
Of course, they're able to take whatever bodies they want. They most certainly can, because you're not using them. Y'all not using them. Just don't chop the knuckle off too close to the chicken. It's the whole first knuckle. On a personal note, what are we going to do with his hair?
Oh, Jack's hair?
Hey, what's wrong with my hair?
He's sad of this. We're working on you, so just behave over there. What should we do different? Yeah. What would you like to do different?
Well, the beard.
I know. Well, that shit's got to go. We'll burn it off if you want to. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yeah. But, okay, well, what if we just cropped it just a little bit? Is that better, maybe?
Well, I was going to see how long he grows it. It might be cool.
But we could groom it, though, don't you think?
He does all the time.
More. We're not questioning his grooming habits. We're asking you what you'd like different about it, because that's what we're going to do. We wanted to make sure it's like something that's pleased you.
Groomed a little bit more. And then...
Uh-huh. Get the lines a little straighter?
Yeah.
How about the forehead? What you going to do with that?
I like it.
The point needs to come out a little bit more, don't you think? You've got it too boxy.
Yeah, you're right. But
you
I
know,
like
we
it.
We were just going to be soft. Okay, but just clean it up a little bit. That's all we're saying. That's all this werewolf-looking shit. Poor Jack. He don't have a chance. You know what I'm saying? If we just clean up a little bit, I think, and shape it. Not so boxy. What do you think?
Like a widow's peak? Just kidding.
He's got that already, but you don't have to make that so predominant. But I'm just saying, make the lines more rounded, maybe, the shape. Right. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Okay, so make that so. Get him hooked up. Take him to Claire. Claire will fix it. She knows what to do, but she won't ask.
Claire? I think he's going to see Claire soon. Right, Jack?
Yeah, I'm going to see her soon.
We know.
So what's wrong with my hair? I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you got it. It's too boxy.
The top?
You need to round it off. All of it, yeah. Can you get your lines aren't straight? Get your lines on your beard straighter. Clean it up a little bit.
I agree with that. I don't really did nothing with the beard. I told myself I wasn't going to cut it until, you know.
We know. But we're saying clean it up. Go somewhere and have them cut your lines in straight. So you don't have all this Abraham-looking shit.
Yeah, my God, that's so true. I didn't even pay attention until you said it now. Yeah, you're right.
Clean it up. Then you can grow it out. I mean, you can grow it down. You can cover your nuts with it if you want to. It's okay with that. The line. Get the line straight. Clean it up.
Make it look cleaner. Not shave it lower. Just make it shaped up, you're saying?
Cut your lines in perfectly straight. Make it be like not that you don't care what you look like. Make it be that you were trying to achieve a persona. You haven't quite arrived yet, but you're doing everything you can, everything, to try to make it look as nice as you possibly can until you arrive.
Okay.
So
I got you.
That's what we're saying. So get your lines in back. And now let's do your hair. Do you think the length is appropriate? Okay. We don't care. Just as boxy, round, smooth it around. Get it around a little more. Soften those edges. Get your line in straight. Your line is not straight on the front. The corners aren't straight. Get it right. Too disheveled.
I thought the corners were pretty straight, though.
All right. Too disheveled.
All right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a picture to Uncle Bob's email, and then Uncle Bob, let them ask you what they think about my mom.
Okay, go ahead if you want to. And they probably won't even know. They won't even open your damn email. Don't you worry about that. That's the thing. Your main, they don't even look at that stuff. They're busy. They don't have time. Are you nuts?
Yeah, you send me an email.
If it comes from Jermaine, if you send it from Jermaine, it'll come through. It'll make it to the top 20.
Yeah, I answer Jermaine's emails.
Yeah.
I'll take it, Jack. I'll take it.
Okay. So what we're saying is we're staying around the edges a little bit. And you could cut it a little, but you don't have to. The length is okay. It's clean. It's rounded a little more. It's too boxy.
The top is too boxy.
Yep.
All my sisters are here right now. They're coming up right now. We're all going out, too.
That's going to be great fun. Who's driving?
I am, I guess.
You always have to drive.
No, I don't always drive.
Okay. You got some extra rear line with you?
No.
You need to get some extra rear line. Every single one of them need two. They're going out on the town.
A rear line?
Right? Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You girls need some methionine now.
That was my next thing, to get realigned.
Better get right.
Hey, Ion, what is Claire?
You're welcome. You needed some assistance and some help, so we sent it. Don't question.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Okay. I look at Claire so much as a mentor for when I ask questions and stuff, but I feel like she's there to help me whatever I need, but I don't like asking her for stuff.
What do you not have? I mean, I think under the circumstances we've been pretty incredibly nice.
I mean, as far as like, my resort and swim line, like she loves the idea, she wants to be a part of it, but it's like, I don't want to ask her for money to do it, but I know that's the last thing I need. I have everything else set up. I have, you know, I've got everything. It's just, I don't like asking her.
Stop. Do not be having these damn conversations that's in your agile mind. You don't even have real line in your system. You're babbling. It's nonsensical. You already have created it. Jermaine can do this. You just got to draw it. And we don't like your drawing. We don't like your lines. You need to soften your lines.
I draw them for him. I do.
Well, you need to soften those lines because you know full well if someone is actually really healthily endowed, they don't fit in those clothes. Make them more rounded. Don't make them so square. That's been the meme for you today.
Okay.
All right.
Soften those lines. You've got them stark. This isn't Tom Ford, darling. It's too stark. And you don't need money. You need buyers. If you'll ride them and have it run up, they'll buy it.
The sisters just walked in. Everybody walked in.
We know. Hey, y'all, get some real line now.
Hi, Ion.
Hey, how's your mama, Nim?
Good.
Good. She loves you more than you deserve.
Ain't that right, Ion?
That is so funny you say that, Ion.
We know.
She's special too, Ion.
More so than you know.
Hey, Ion, she has something else. She has, like, special powers, right? Not powers, but, like, she's just
no,
a
special. No, powers. She can cause veils. Her veils are her specialty.
Yeah, I figured.
She can cloak you when necessary.
That makes so much sense.
Although she hardly ever does it.
Oh, yeah, more than you know.
Yeah, she does it in different ways, things that really make you just sit alone and think about it and figure out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Then they accuse us of the same thing. Why do y'all think of Little Boozy?
You really like
Little
Boozy?
Huh? I like him.
You like him, my
eyes? He really
yeah.
Like, he's
oh, yeah, he's kicking. Oh, yeah, Little Wayne and Little Boozy.
I love Little Wayne. Little Boozy's, like, so street. We're
not
actually just talking
he's
about
good.
It. He has, like, that street credibility.
Little Boozy has a box top, like me.
Yeah, I know, and that's the only thing wrong with him. He's not quite as dope as he needs to be.
Hey, Ion.
But
so,
Rick Ross is my favorite right now. Kanye and Rick Ross.
Yeah, but it won't last for 1 second, though.
That's true.
It's
like a bad M&M. What you going to do with it?
So I was thinking about my career and where I'm at, and I'm becoming unhappy with my career at this point.
Good.
And I'm thinking of just, like, letting that go because at this point it's just taking so much energy right now from my place of being just happy and enjoying life. So I actually just had a conversation with my mom, and I think it's time to, like, go and move on. Is that, like, what I'm supposed to be doing, like, just...
Who's speaking? What do you do?
It's Nadia, my radio show.
You're thinking of moving on to the radio media world. Why? It's a good world.
I like it. I enjoy it. I just feel like I've been putting so much energy and so much sacrifice into this project that I'm doing, in particular with this one. And it just seems like every time I'm trying to do something big, I'm getting shut down and shut down, like one thing after another, where it's becoming so much work and I'm like losing that positivity and that energy to keep going and be happy with what I'm doing. I still want to be in entertainment, but not necessarily maybe in the one that I'm doing currently.
You need to do it like Little Boozy and show the world. Show the world.
And that's kind of like what I was trying to show the world. Like, dude, this is, like, I put this project on the map. Like, I put Playboy in Spanish on the map. But it seems like I'm just having such a hard time with everything.
No, you're more like, I'm a dog feet little fat.
Yeah,
so I just want to like be able, like I just, I feel like I don't know exactly what to do right now. Like if
betrayed.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
We know, so get over it.
And stay there?
We don't care where you are. Okay. We say show the world. Listen to Little Boozy. Show the world. That's
show funny. The world.
Show the world.
Thank you, Ion. We're going to step out, but we're going to call back when we come back.
Okay. Do not get too intoxicated without your real eye.
You know, you're reading my mind because that was already my plan for tonight.
That's right. Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss. Mwah.
Ciao,
see you later.
Talk to you later. We'll call you when we get back and we'll have stories about how the club was.
Bob will be here with Benazon. This is the mid-intro.
Hey, Ion, you going to still be on?
Always. We stay with you till they buy or die.
Bye, Ion.
Hey. And now it's our time in the show where we can have the Fireside Chat with Dr. Carolyn Dean in the place. Everybody's kind of getting intoxicated. We're fixing to go booze it up with Little Boozy. That'd be great fun. That'd be enjoyable. But now it's time to enjoy a Fireside Chat with Dr. Dean. And so, without further ado, our kind sponsors would like to bring forth Dr. Carolyn Dean. And the crowd goes wild with adulation. Hey, Dr. Dean.
Hey, Ion. What are you up to?
Honey, you can't believe what we're up to. We have a caller who has a question. We've gotten everybody off to the club. We reminded them to be sure to take their real eye, and they were, like, stunned. And so the question for us was, hey, Ion, tell us about real eye. Do you have some words that will help us be engaged with real eye, Dr. Dean?
Were you telling Jermaine and Jack to use real eye to help them metabolize alcohol?
Yes. Actually, all the sisters is the one I was worried about. Jack can swing pound him. He's okay. But the girls could use it.
That's interesting. I really hadn't talked about that before. We always used to use vitamin C as the antidote. Right. Yeah. And there's magnesium, too, that can help metabolize alcohol.
Methionine.
Yeah, if you go right back to the methionine and taurine aspect of the precursors to glutathione. Glutathione is the superior antioxidant in the body. So, yeah, I can see that.
Here's what it does. What it does is if you take it, even like if you're consuming or even before you consume, we might want to wait till just you're consuming because sometimes it'll take the edge of your buzz off. So you don't want it to be as a buzz killer, but at the same time, you can use it to take the edge off if you get almost too much.
I guess in my old conservative days, I'd say, well, then you're just giving people freedom to drink themselves into a tizzy and then promise them that it's all okay because they can antidote it with methionine.
That's right. But see, the good news is if alcohol poisoning is going to kill them, they'd already be dead. So it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking up, and there's a neat entry here. Methionine lowers circulating levels of acetaldehyde, and acetaldehyde is the hangover chemical that's produced by the breakdown of alcohol. It's also produced by yeast. You'll like that.
There you go. And what happens is you don't ever have a hang around.
Hang over.
No, hang around. They don't hang over. They hang around and they stay even to the next day. Then you go get in the shower and you're already all drunk all over again. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy. But these kids today, what you going to do with kids today? But anyhow, the realignment will help curb that position.
What's interesting about the methionine acetaldehyde connection is that all the products kind of interweave all the complement formulas because magnesium also helps break down acetaldehyde. So that would work together with methionine. And the enzyme that works to break down methionine into glutathione requires magnesium. Everything's so interactive.
Some people drink a top shelf or a premium alcohol, a higher grade, I guess, a brand, because they say the cheap stuff makes them sick. Or you don't want people getting sick from non-filtrated properly or not a good quality alcohol. We don't even know. We're just speaking words. We don't know what we're saying. But the point is with a bit or a layer with realign in your diet already and then adding some, you don't find that indifference or your tolerance to those impurities are not so abstract. You won't have this worshiping the porcelain gods.
Here's something about methionine that actually flows into some of the conversation from last week. Methionine is an essential sulfur amino acid.
And that's for people that even have sulfur allergies because it's a different kind of sulfur.
Well, it's food-based. It's like the sulfur in broccoli or onions or something.
Dogs eat grass when they haven't upset something. That's what they do. Well, this white stuff on the grass is that stuff.
So anyway, it's an essential sulfur amino acid. It's a precursor to glutathione, but it's a methyl donor. Bob was mentioning earlier about the original Earth environment with methane. Now, methane is related to this whole methylation business. It all kind of, again, works together. So the question is, there are people now saying that they aren't methylating properly, so they have to have B vitamins and amino acids that help them methylate. So does this whole supposed methylation problem have to do with the change in the environment that we're now experiencing? I'm sure it's a yes, but I'd like to go into the layers of that.
Let's go add a layer. First thing, the first obvious change is, if you've not noticed, please don't take our word for it, but look around your world. It is absolutely changing. The world is changing. Even asphalt itself is changing. Now, asphalt bubbles and potholes, just look at asphalt. It's changing. They're not changing the asphalt. It's the same, but it's changing. As the oxygen is decreasing, please don't believe us. Check with anybody registering oxygen levels on the planet. Check with them. Even in the maladies, in those days, no one had O2 concentrators just to be able to breathe in their houses. Now people got them portable. They towed them around with them. So as the world's changing and your ascension began, you need less and less oxygen, so you thrive. Well, if you're not in that process, you notice you'll start to wither. And that's what happened. Now, in this shift, these things from the end of the lipids, back to the lipids, as that applies, then you're curbing your body's natural ability and capacity to process these changes in the environment, which is a hereditary response. Your body, its heredity, leads you back to perfection. And if it's not perfect, it's because you are blocking it.
Yeah, lipids, that brings up, was it last week where John was talking about the lipids. You were talking about the lipid system, and then he sort of calibrated that. Oh, yeah, you know, lipids are in every cell membrane. We have trillions of cells, so we have a heck of a lot of lipids. But there's also what's called the chylomicrons, C-H-I-L-O-M-I-C-R-O-N-S, that travel in the lymphatic circulation.
The power is in the blood.
I was trying to remember the way the lymph works. It pulls up through the body. It goes from toes to your shoulders, and it drops in the right side of what's called the sternal chyle, under your right collarbone.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Where does it go from there?
It connects into your thyroid and the hypothalamus. Okay. It hooks in right there, and then it goes all the way up into where the saliva comes out from under your tongue.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, everything is definitely connected. So there's more to the lipids than just the membranes.
Yeah, and then you go into the lymphatic system, into the lymph node of the body, which is even more.
Right.
That would be the precursor to how you apply the amino acids into that system. See, because everybody's still fighting fat. If you notice, we aren't fighting fat. We're saying that you just need to change your fat cells. Mm-hmm. You could change your fat cells into ascension. They don't become a storage.
There you go. That's exactly the next thing, is that fats store the toxins.
Right.
And it's a helping mechanism. They're trying to keep
What you're perfecting is your cells. Now, most people fall off, but some people gain what you saw, add weight. Well, they're not adding weight. They're just purging corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes it, as it stores the yuck, it also collects it.
Mm-hmm.
So some may add some weight. Is that what you call it? Is that like a gut or a 12-pack or a Federal Reserve? What do you call that? A jelly roll? What do you call it? Spare tire?
What do I call it? A muffin top.
Oh, a muffin pop. Oh, and suffering kids. But that will go away as your body has more ability to process these changes. And the more the changes are, the less you'll notice it.
So some people in general just gain and retain weight because of toxicity. They're exposed to toxins, so their fat cells will hold the toxins to protect it from hitting organs like the brain and the heart and the nervous system. So
Cortisol.
So they're holding on toxins in the fat cells. So we know that happens. So what you're saying is when people seem to gain a little bit of weight in the RNA process, it's because cells are getting perfected, the toxins are dumped out of, you know, tissue cells throughout the body, and for a certain cycle, they'll end up in fat cells, you know, as those toxins are on their way out, so it's like a transition point that's happening.
Correct. But now let's say a few more words. In a little man, you eat a certain amount of food. You process that amount of food, and what you have left over, the body stores as fat. It's energy. It's calorie. Calorie is not fat. Calorie is heat. Your body naturally responds by holding it or not, depending on what you're eating, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then your whole strata comes into play. Some people can eat 10,000 calories. Some people can look at a glass of water and gain 5 pounds, blah, blah, blah. Makes no, never mind. The whole point of this conversation is that as you ascend, the way your body processes food is different. The way it metabolizes food is different. That's why we keep saying in this transition process, protein, 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 because it's more difficult for the body to process. That's what you need, is things that are more difficult to process. The protein is that building block that you can run your body through the rigors to digest.
So you're saying eat more protein for the difficulty of processing?
You're using more energy to digest it. And therefore, you're getting the good to feed the cells while it's ripping the fat out. You'll eat your way skinny.
So you require more energy to digest protein, but you actually require the most energy to digest fat.
I know, but it makes no never mind. As you're busy eating more protein, the fat that has the toxicity that you're purging has the ability to let go. They have no reason to stay. Now, your body is going to be hungry until it gets protein. It's going to be hungry. You can give it some sugar, and that'll put it to sleep, but until you get some to stick to your ribs, protein, to process, you're still going to be hungry. So eat the protein rather than all the other choices first. And then have your ice cream, and then eat whatever you like. It doesn't make a difference. Enjoy it.
I've been wanting to eat a lot of carbs recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really figured that out, but, yeah, I should just go thaw some lamb chops as we speak.
Eat more protein, and then your carbs will have a, they'll fit. You see, there's nothing wrong with having a side of spaghetti as long as you're eating a great big hunk of meat. And you eat the great big hunk of meat, and you don't want the pasta. Nothing wrong with pasta. Normally you eat 9 yards of pasta, and that's more than you desire.
Is the eating more protein to get the metabolism revved up to be able to process the fat to be able then to dump the toxins? Is that the scenario?
Yes, if you activate the lymphatic process. Since you got to generation 108, now you're going to see your lysine levels change.
Now, activate the lymphatic process, that brings us back to glutathione and the realign.
It does indeed. And you can do this without any of those things. But, sure is easier. Sure is simpler.
Yeah, I mean, and it all, you know, it all makes sense.
Then it comes into a balance.
I want to clear up this methane, methyl donors business, because alluded to it. So methane was the original gaseous environment, and then we got oxygen, and now we're getting hydrogen. So is it that the methane breathers, the ones that don't have enough methyl groups, they're having trouble?
They just hold more.
Hold more what?
That.
So some people who need more methyl donors are ones that are holding more fat, and they need more methylation to break down the fat.
Yes.
And let me just look at my notes on realign. What I'm saying here is protein foods containing methionine. Listen to this. Processing of food oxidizes methionine in the form that is unusable, thus rendering many food sources unavailable after cooking. So there's, right in my notes, is oxidation is the bad guy in terms of getting your methionine out of food, which you said something earlier about it's much better to get it in the capsule form of realign, and that's the reason oxidation strikes again.
Of course.
And then we've got 3B vitamins in the realign. Two of them are methylated. The third one I've been just fighting tooth and nail to get it methylated, but it's a folic acid that apparently has been patented by a drug company, and they won't release it. They're holding it close to their chest.
You resemble that remark.
Oh, it's really very frustrating because people who are now being told, like the naturopaths are all big on this MTHFR gene mutation and scaring the living daylights out of people, saying, oh, well, you have this gene mutation that just suddenly showed up in the world. You know, it's supposed to take centuries to change genes, but all of a sudden overnight it comes and they found at least 40 of them. So they give people this incredible less than experience, and then they look at labels and say, oh, well, this B6 isn't methylated, it'll probably kill me. So, you know, I have to kind of roll with that punch and either remove the folic acid entirely and tell them to get a food-based B-complex or try to get it methylated. But when you look at this MTHFR gene mutation and you look at people who have a lack of magnesium, it's a magnesium deficiency that may be what allows people to express this genetic problem. It's not a mutation at all. It's just a epigenetic reaction to the environment of, you know, what foods or what supplements or complement formulas people are taking. So it's interesting times we live in when people are scared of all these tests that they're willingly subjecting themselves to.
Well, it's just a test, but the L form of methionine, once you get that balance right, the body will kick in and it'll pick it up. Now, you have a duty and obligation to help the little man. We do not. We don't. Yeah. We're like, you know, get happy or get out because it's coming over before you say it. Anyway, so why get all upset about it? At least have some fun. Do what you did.
Yes. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, I said that at the beginning. Methionine itself is a methyl donor. So if the folic acid in there, it'll probably just support the folic acid methylated as it goes along. See, the body can take care of itself, but
it does despite you.
And it's the labyrinth of the mind that gets in the way of the body trying to just do what it wants to do naturally. So back to how much magnesium is the right amount. Everybody's different. This is not like a drug. Everybody takes
What is that?
BID.
What does that mean? BID, twice a day. Okay, now do I need a bucket, a dipper, or a dropper?
You need as much as it takes to get rid of your magnesium deficiency symptoms.
We don't even know what that is.
Yeah, well, oh, come on. You stop pretending to be Barbara Walters and make me cry.
It make you cry. It's a fight.
Oh, Barbara, don't make me. Oh, you're making me sad.
When did you realize that we really should have magnesium in our bodies?
You know, when I was on The View and she was there, it was the segment we were talking about colon therapy. You know, we probably laughed our way through the whole thing. And then afterwards, she turned to me and we were walking off the stage. She was walking over to her boyfriend, the senator. She said, well, what happens if people do it wrong or do it? And, you know, I said this and that. And she said, yeah, and then they die. And she laughed. You know, she cackled. Yeah, and then they die. It was very funny.
And then they die.
Yeah. And the senator came up and asked me something about some supplements he was taking, and she was glaring at him because he was talking to someone other than herself. It was fun.
Of course. Senator John Warner, John Warner.
John Warner.
Don't be talking. You're pinch mac again, Bob. There you go.
What I'll tell you, Mr. Ion, about how much magnesium and why and how, you can look at my blog called Gauging Magnesium Deficiency Symptoms. This is if you don't want to go ahead and buy my book because you're saving your pennies.
Papa said be saving as you can.
So the blog called Gauging Magnesium Deficiency Symptoms, there's 100 factors that relate to magnesium deficiency. It's in my book, Magnesium Miracle, but I put it up on the blog. So people can look through here if you're drinking more than 7 alcohol drinks a week, if you tend to get angry, get angina or anxiety or apathy or arrhythmia or asthma, and it goes on through the whole alphabet, then you can check that off as a possible magnesium deficiency indication and start taking magnesium and see what goes away. Like with insomnia, for example, we tell people if their insomnia is a bit better and they know, well, the magnesium didn't work, my insomnia didn't go away, I just say take more. And how I got into the REMAG was because so many people are so sick from magnesium deficiency, and they're on all these drugs, they have all this stress, they're drinking fluoride water that blocks magnesium, so they need more and more and more, but to get the therapeutic effect, with anything but REMAG, they get the laxative effect first, and then they just waste all their magnesium. So you go for treating symptoms. If you want to be bothered with it, you can get a magnesium test at requestatest.com, $49 test. It gives you a fairly good indication of your magnesium levels, but the whole deal there, and actually, I just did a blog. I'm just going to it right now.
Here we get it on a fireside chat. Look, we get first run at this stuff. This is great.
Stop it. And I talked about the importance of the magnesium RBC test. What I talked about was the old range of magnesium RBC was 4.2 to 6.8, but you want to be 6 to 6.5. You want to be way up at the top. But out of the blue, people start telling me that the ranges their lab is giving now, not 4.2 for the bottom, it's 3.9, and not 6.8 for the top, but 5.8. So what's happened is it's the range of the sick population. So it looks like the population is getting sicker and sicker, having lower and lower magnesium. Instead of going for optimum, they're just going for average on a bell curve. So now doctors will say, and they said to one of my clients, oh, you're 3.8. Well, the range is 3.9 to 5.8. You're okay. You're very close to the range, without a clue. And this woman with heart palpitations, twitching, insomnia, headaches, fatigue, anxiety, high blood sugar, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, all symptoms of magnesium deficiency, being told her magnesium is just fine.
And then they say that 200 rads of radiation is okay. And then when they were found in that in fields of grass in Nebraska, they say, okay, now 500 rads is okay. 500 rads won't kill you. 500 rads won't cause radiation sickness. So they just move the scale to 2,000.
But if you're ascended, none of that matters. We always have to make sure we put that in that caveat.
That's true. Caveat emptor, then.
Emptor.
So if I am on IV, let's say I'm fortunate enough to be on IV magnesium, and then I find that there's a product that I can get and get rid of my IV magnesium that seems more pleasurable to me than having to take an IV. If I do that, is there an amount that is appropriate for me to take?
No, it depends on the person. And for those folks, I definitely have them checking their magnesium levels. The best thing to do for someone dependent on IV magnesium, those individuals, it's usually 4 teaspoons a day, which is it's a fair amount. These are people who are wasters, magnesium wasters. It just runs,
right,
you know, in one end and out the other. But what you do is you put all 4 teaspoons, and you make sure you do Relight as well, the multiple mineral. Put about a teaspoon and a half to 2 teaspoons of Relight, all in a liter of water, and sip that through the day so that you've got, you know, small amount constantly going in. If you're a waster and you think, oh, I'll take 2 teaspoons twice a day, you take 2 teaspoons, you kind of flood your body. It's not really going to go to your intestines, but it will get lost through your urine. It'll be picked up by the blood, and before it jumps into the cells, it can be wasted through your urine. So for people who are on higher doses of REMAG, it's best to sip it through the day in a liter or so of water.
Good, good, good. So if they have a question, they should just call you.
I'm available, did you know, for 2 hours on Mondays. Ginny and I do a radio show live with Dr. Carolyn Dean on Achieve
Radio. Oh, is that like a fireside chat? Is that like a fireside chat?
It is. It very much so. Right. Very much so.
Nice. Nice. Well, people don't say it in that. Well, no, we say they don't say enough, but they do say it all the time. How much they appreciate your hard work and how hard you're working to keep the little man alive. We're glad you care about the little man, because we don't.
Believe it or not, it's still fun to me. I did the blog, I guess it was this morning or last night, and I enjoy writing this stuff and you know, sort of, sticking it to the man.
Yeah, sticking it Chico in the man. I'm Chico, right?
Right.
Let's open it up. There might be one of our wonderful, unwilling candidates that might have a tactile question that all of my physical wasn't able to subjugate.
Uh-huh.
So, Bob, open up the windows.
Do you and Carolyn have any advice for me?
Take
get
more
happy,
magnesium.
Get lucky or get over.
This is Kim. What role does the lymph system play in ascension? Because it's not a known system very much in our body. What role does it have? Is it the processing of the amino acids?
What I'd say, Kim and Ion, is the lymph system is the detoxifier. It tries so hard to grab toxins and eliminate them from the body. That's what I was starting to ask Ion earlier. Okay, get all these toxins collected, and then how do they get dumped? So, you know, I'm looking up the anatomy of that right now. I kind of forgot that. But it is pretty major in being a detoxifier. But in medical school, we never really paid much attention to it. In the liver, for example, there are detoxification pathways. They're called that. But doctors ignore the word detox and detoxification. When they think of detox, they just think of an alcohol rehab detoxing from drugs. So they really pay no attention to the way the body is trying to eliminate someone who only has a bowel movement once or twice a week. They think that's normal. We're doing with the RNA drops, making perfect cells, dumping the less than perfect cells and dumping the toxins, and even the REMAG and RELIGHT, they go into the cells and they detoxify them. They dump stuff. So we do have to have a very effective lymphatic system working to eliminate the toxins from the cells that are being dumped. So in terms of the role the lymph plays in ascension, I'll hand that back to you, Ion.
All right, here's what it is. It's an extensive drain network. It's a sewer. And what it does is it balances your fluids. It's a defense against what you call infections. As you ascend, you won't know infection. Infection will be what you eat. Radiation will be what you eat. But the lymphatic vessels that carry lymph, it's clear, watery fluid. It contains protein, molecules, salt, glucose, urea, and other substances all through your body. Once your body gets that lined up and you get the lysine appropriate, then the cells start responding differently. When the cells start responding differently, it becomes the inside superhighway that trumps. The problem as a little man, what you have more than anything else in your body is dead blood. You don't even know what dead blood is, but that's your little man problem. You need a system that will remove the dead blood from your body because there's power in the blood. So that's what it does mostly, honey.
I want to thank you both. My husband, Brian, was the one I called back in March that had the high blood sugar and was not feeling well.
Right.
We followed your advice. He's doing remarkably well. There's absolutely no symptoms of diabetes whatsoever.
We told you.
You were right. I mean, because I just bit my tongue and just we're going to go at this the right way and we're going to do the right things. And he's doing remarkably well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The nodes house lymphocytes.
So the lymph nodes house lymphocytes. So, yeah, they're fighting machines, of course. I mean, the lymph nodes get swollen when the body's fighting an infection. But this dead blood business, now that's really fascinating because what you're saying there is that we're changing our blood. So the old blood is a major dead thing that we have to remove.
It is. And if you notice, everybody was like, blood donor, give blood, give blood, give blood. You notice you don't hear that anymore. They don't even ask for blood anymore.
Why not?
You notice that? Well, they just don't. You see, that was the big push. We must have donors. We must have donors. They don't want your blood anymore.
It's Linda here. I've made a major shift in a week, in this past week. And each day, the feeling of feeling so good, I'm so not used to that I can't.
Right, the shock.
Yes, it's like, is this real? What I've done was I upped my Realign to 3 a day. I was taking 2 a day. And I've had a battle with E. coli for almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had my culture last week. And for the first time in 2 years, I came back with no E. coli.
Wow.
So that was very exciting.
Is that urine
culture,
Linda?
Yeah.
Now, is the battle over? Did you want some more? You didn't want any more.
No, I'm done.
Oh, good, because it was a battle, so I thought, oh, no, then you got to have some more. Okay, good.
So anyway, mentally, emotionally, it's funny, the word realign, that's what I feel, realigned.
Okay.
You know, I can see my spine. It feels like it's straight.
Here's what you do. You take your hands, each hand, and look at it. Look at the palm of each hand. They're on your left and right side, so you turn your head and look at your hands and get a real good mental picture of what your hands look like. Then you take them and rub them together. Like if you were going to put your hands together like in Sunday school and pray, put your hands like steepling, I guess is what they call it, and rub them up and down, up and down, up and down. Do that for about 5 minutes a day or longer if you want to. But just put your hands together and just rub it, just up and down, not a bunch, just like from your first and second joint, up and down on your fingers, back and forth, like if you were doing Bob, going, rubbing your hands together like that, that you've got something. Do that a couple of times a day, about 4 or 5 minutes. It'll help get you jumping. You've got a little, the lymph node under your left arm is a little bit stopped up. Rubbing that up and down will help open that up a little bit.
I always pretty well was able to keep my blood sugars in check, but they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Up and down, up and down, up and down.
My food has always been pretty well in check, but since I would say the beginning of May, or when I started to realign, I think Carolyn had mentioned earlier that she's been having carbohydrates. And carbohydrates, I basically have to watch with my blood sugars, but I've been kind of saying, fuck it, paying the price for it.
Well, it's balancing, and let me just say what you said earlier was I'm feeling so well, I'm not used to it, it's a big change. You know, partly diabetes, high blood sugar, is wanting the sweetness in life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't feel worthy to be wonderful and healthy and happy, then you're going to start messing around and going up and down on your ability to know that you deserve the sweetness in life, then it doesn't have to be carbohydrates. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
So now your glucometer becomes the gauge that you use to judge your worthiness. You feel low, so you check it and you go, oh, I knew I was low. Or it feels a little good, you feel good. Because when your blood sugar is around 200, you actually feel better than when it's in the 70s. We're not saying that 200 is a good one or a bad one. We're just saying you feel better at 200 than you do at 70. The point is that you want to have a more meticulous, balanced. And as an ascended one, sugars are different. So you change the way sugar is. And through the RNA, see, you're already getting a bit of that. So some of this balancing, what you're saying, up and down, is your insulin levels are shocked. If you notice, when your balance comes, you'll take your RNA drops. Whenever you take the RNA drops, if you'll notice, they sort of get in line. And then the end of when you're not taking them, that's when you can not eat or do eat or anything. And it goes up and down like a window shade. Like you can be 175 pretty quick.
I have to tell myself to eat, and I'm not eating a regular balanced meal because it's like, and then all of a sudden, the RNA, I think, is part of that, and trying to figure out how to balance that.
Bob calls all this back in Oh, he ate. He didn't eat anything for a month or so.
Literally.
And he was just happy as a pig in shit. I mean, you know, Bob. He just didn't eat anything. He says, oh, this is food. This is easy. I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to do. Nobody has to lay it out for me, for me to engage. And it was great. He did it. He did fine. But you're right. It curbs your desire to must. I must eat or I'm going to die. That
right.
feeling goes away. Where before you would be starved by the clock. You'd eat by the clock. Now, a regular diet, eating a certain time is good because your body knows what it's doing. Okay, Dr. Dean, we know. But we say eat when you feel like eating, whenever that is, and it's fine. But keeping in balance, you know when your sugar is going to be low. You know if you take anything for your sugars, of course, outside that you have to consume certain amounts. But we'd say air more right back to your proteins. And you get your pancreas kicking, it'll start making insulin all the time. And then you'll have to eat the proteins to metabolize this increased spike.
Yeah, protein is really talking to me.
So it's like adjusting to a whole new environment in your body. You're creating a whole new set of cells and everything with the RNA drops. So everything's got to adjust, and I think that's why it's so up and down. So, yeah.
It just got that way in the past month, feeling so miserable physically for the past few years. And this week, it's like each day I wake up and I go, oh, wow, it's here again. I feel good.
I'm alive.
All right,
we don't do part of truth. Let's pick this up a little bit. You've sort of been drugged through the mud far enough. Let's see what happens here. When you go to sleep this day, do you plan to sleep today?
Oh, I do.
Okay. When you go to bed, before you go to bed, go find a tea in that you already have. Make a cup of tea. Have it before you go to sleep. Do you have a seatbelt in your bed?
No.
Maybe a rope of some sort?
No.
Oh, my. You might better get something to tie around your foot or your wrist to tie you to the bed if you do what we say.
Well, that sounds very exciting.
You just find a tea. We don't care how you do it, a cup of tea. If you want anything in it or just plain, it doesn't matter. But it must be tea, and it must be in water. Make it. And you could ice it. We don't care. It doesn't make a difference to us. That's fine. But a cup of tea and then something that you would have to undo to get you out of this world. And because you've had such a rough time, we're going to play a little tonight. We don't do parlor tricks, honey, but we get one tonight. It's great fun. And then when you wake in the morning, you'll have to undo whatever it is. It can be, doesn't have to be huge, but just a ribbon or something that you know that if you left, you'd know it. Otherwise,
okay.
So if it's undone, and you wake up and it's undone, you know you had to undo it to get up, basically.
Last payday, it seemed that like between 9 and 11, I would go into this. It feels like a trance. It's very nice.
Super. And it's a super. The mystery body is what Bob used to call it, but all those bodies are buried. Thank God it finally got rid of those dogs, they wouldn't hunt anymore. So now you come into the superfluous side or the supernal. We would call it supernal, the supernal body. You'll probably hear that again, the supernal body,
supernal.
Or maybe it'd be known as supernal living.
Mm.
Supernal living. Are
and
those
that
words?
Is?
What you're fixing to experience.
Well, when I went last payday, I was like half, it's like half in, just a really nice place. And then all of a sudden, I was in Hawaii, and
yes.
I was in this like kitchen, and Bob and Carolyn were there, and someone else, I didn't know who it was. And I was saying, oh, wow, we're sitting here talking, this is familiar. And Bob said, yeah, we've done this many times.
Back with those damn orange fingertip towels. It's so ridiculous.
there was this huge fish that Carolyn and I were going to cook. We got the fish in the plate, got it in the oven, and I had said, this looks good, but I'm not a really fish person, which I'm not. And then there was this thing that Carolyn said, well, we got to get this thing out. And it was this big blob of something. I don't know what it was. We took it out. Carolyn, like, fell back, was laying on the floor. It wasn't a harmful thing. And she was laughing, and then I helped her up. I was brushing off the back of her. She had, like, a white sunbreaker on, a little jacket. And it was all full of cigarettes. I was brushing them all off and saying, oh, wow, it's cigarettes. You know, and we weren't smoking, but smoking has been an issue for me. And when I was brushing it off, I felt bad that I gotten cigarettes all over her white jacket. Anyway, when I woke up.
Great, fine.
It was
rolling,
like
she was rolling in the ashes. Oh, hey, that's Cineplex Odeon color. Yes. Now, what that all is about is changing the way you respond. This is about your responses. That dream or that interaction was about you changing your responses. And that's where we are now. So fun. Okay, we would like to thank our kind sponsors for yet another Fireside Chat. Join again at same bat time, same bat station, as we try to heal the world with one Louisville Slugger at a time.
Yeah, well, the main thing that really accompanies all this is Pamela out in Australia, who has become the new Ron, and she admits it. She's typing in quick messages going, apart from the RNA drops, is there anything else that could be used to naturally store worn tooth enamel? And then she goes, take me, Lord, take me. Then she goes, oops, I didn't mean that. She gets somebody tickling her sugary walls. And then she goes, oops, didn't mean to actually do that. Then she goes, just call me Ron, babbling and nonsensical, relate to that. And she says, power of the blood. She does this week in and week out, power in the blood. Do plants grow better with the addition of human menstrual blood? If ascended women don't give birth or choose not to, do they still menstruate? Is menopause unnecessary? An artifact of a false position?
Kathy Lee Gifford has the same trouble, honey. It's okay.
Yeah. And then when it ends and before we do her song, she goes, thanks, Batman, and Boy Wonder, and, of course, the inimitable Catwoman.
Catwoman. Lord suffering cat.
Right. And then she goes, so sleek in her black leathers. Won't that be a great world when there's nothing left to cure? See, she's paying attention, Carol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she says, you will be entertaining us, Bob. That sounds pretty good. That's right, in the wonderful world.
Boy.
And then she sends the link.
Bob, the cue, the wine, or the music. You're on your own now.
I wanted to ask about, I've been noticing cigarette smoke smell.
It's a great uncle on her mama's side.
Is there a reason for...
Yes, the connection. There's a connection. You got a disconnection on your mama's side that he would like to repair.
Between that great uncle and my mom? A disconnection?
Didn't say.
Did my mom even know him?
Yes.
So a great uncle would be my great-grandmother's brother?
Yes.
Are there any projects or any things that I can look into that will make me happy?
Your Pall Mall smoking great Uncle Sam says, why don't you follow your heart?
My Pall Mall smoking uncle?
Great Uncle Sam.
Well, you know what's so strange that you say Pall Mall? That's my dad when he smoked, used to smoke those.
So did your great-uncle, Sam, follow your heart.
Can you ask him what my heart is saying?
We don't give a flip what your heart's saying. It was follow your heart. what makes your heart sing.
Do you agree that she should go to California, Sam?
No. Well, can't make it here. What makes you think you're going to make it there?
Well, Ion, that's my frustration. I don't know what makes my heart sing.
Then don't. It's the answer's no. Okay, that's no. That doesn't mean eternally. That means just right hot in here right now. If you can't decide, then don't.
Okay.
Decide. There's more peace in that than pining, oh, I've got to do this, oh, I didn't do this, oh, I've got to go. No wonder you probably start cigarette smoking your damn self. You probably thought it wouldn't hurt you. Dude, fire one up or something. Get you some Lebanese hashish or something going on so you can get over this blub, blub, blub. It's a virtual thing. It's like your commode stopped up, and that's when you got to go to the bathroom. It's when the commode stopped up, and that's the way it is. You can go all day long, and I have to go let that commode plumbing seize. Then you got to go to the bathroom. It never fails. Same way. You unblock it. Unblock it. Then whichever way it goes, you can flow with it.
Oh.
Move with the cloud.
So, Ian, you had me all on fire with the help of hypothalamus and the pearl and the nacre and all that jazz.
Good.
Would I be right in saying that the tree of life correlates with the hypothalamus?
Looks like a blue diamond almond that's a mauve pearl.
We have someone from the United Kingdom.
Joy Seeker of Dubes.
Oh, Joy Seeker. Are you Phil of the UK?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I've noticed my digestive system seems to be getting faster and faster.
Good. Get rid of those damn digestive biscuits. They're ridiculous.
I've been eating quite a few steaks and protein, so maybe it seems faster because it's working harder.
It would be, yes, and rightly so. You've noticed some shifts in your body, too, have you not?
So lots of them.
Do you want a little more endurance, or you think you have enough yet?
I certainly notice, you know, during the worky job that... I've got as much energy at sort of end of the day as I do at the start of the day, which wasn't the case prior to the completement.
I like the way he says about the completement. He's
yep.
using it correct. See, I love it. He speaks the Queen's English. It's so nice. She'd be pleased. Are you a loyal subject?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose I've read a lot of conspiracy theories prior to Ireland, so we've got sort of different
yeah,
views on there, but I think you're probably straight in a lot of them.
Well, now, we're not asking you if you like or don't like Lyndon LaRouche. We already know how he feels about it. But the point is the Queen gave up her very life force for you. And it's not the present sitting Queen. It's the whole monarchy. It's the last bastion of hope to remind you that there is an HRH and an HRH status. Do you see? Minus the Torchwood hemophiliac issue, which is ever present and clear, and minus the inbreeding, trying to get a good stock, they're just trying to remulcate the whole position of resplicing the perfect gene pool. It's a ramification of an extendable iconoclast. It's a layout of how to get back to God. And that's all that is. So give the old broad a break.
Was that with regard to some of the royal bloodlines and not the blue blood, as they call it?
Well, the blue blood, that's what's changing. So, yeah.
But is their blood different to most little men's blood as such?
Yes, it is different than the descended ones. It is. Now, we didn't necessarily say they're ascended, but there are those in the House of Windsor that are ascending. And there's some land girls that slid in there that had it all going on.
I thought there must be something. Right. Must something different. Yeah.
Your death history. So, Balmoral, basement, little spread. It's all good.
I'm not far from Sandringham, that's where it's just down the road from me.
Yeah, we know. It's this place, you know. All that stuff. Bubble and squeak. A little bubble and squeak and get that going on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, go ahead with your next question.
You spoke about the Indian Ocean is going to turn red. So what effect will it have befallen plankton and the subsequent food chain when that event's taking place or taken place?
Changes plankton and the krill itself and that food chain of the whole world. The things that eat krill and the things that eat krill then eat something else and then eat something else. It changes the way krill lives. When the H197 hits a certain level, it'll blossom or bloom, and you start changing the boiling point of water. And when oxygen decreases to a certain level, then all of a sudden salination isn't pure anymore because oxygen is the oxidator. Salty water and the salination changes, it freezes at a different point. Once boiling point changes and H197 becomes radical or the half-life becomes the integer of the present, dichotomy of oxygen stable environment minus ozone, but then that's not really oxygen either, it's a type of it, then you have a shift and then the oceans bloom. We can't say anymore. You have to ask Dr. Dean. She knows everything.
But the plankton actually changes, is changing colors. Is that what is actually the looking red, or is it these little blooms that occasionally you see on the ocean where these sudden sort of just little blooms of almost, I don't know, algae or something on the surface, and they look red?
Oh, no, no. This will be scooped up. It'll be a glass full, and it'll be red. Won't be on the top. It'll be
red like it's blue, in other words.
All of me. Why not take all of me? There you go, Bob. Now, hold on.
Okay.
He's got a question for Dr. Dean regarding red tide.
Red tide?
Bioluminescence.
Bioluminescence. That's what I could look at as a description of what is happening in the ocean.
Going to happen. Red tide bioluminescence.
The indigenous trees here in the UK going to adapt to the new H2O2 environment?
No, they're not.
Are they going to die?
They're going to be dashed into a fire.
Cast into the fire?
Yes.
So where we see like ash, the scientists call ash dieback, indeed is what's happening with the horse chestnut trees as well. Their leaves all seem to die off by about June time, July, in another month or so. Is this just going to increase?
Gone, yes.
They're going. They're all going.
Gone.
What will come in their place?
What would you like?
Are we going to get some of the other plants and trees that perhaps are similar to the ones that were about at the time of the dinosaurs? Because, I mean, they seem very different.
See, Phil, you've got to take an active role in this. You can have a say about what happens.
Oh, I see. If I request to see pterodactyls back in the sky, then...
You don't request, you just make them.
So the environment will change to allow that.
How long have you had a problem with the Queen? Specifically Queen Victoria. What do you have against Queen Victoria, precisely?
I'd read in the Gutenberg press, she seemed very sort of austere person, I think. Well, the picture, all I can think of is a picture of her looking very serious. You kind of say, well, that must have been her character.
She's famous for the saying, not in my realm. She dictated what her world looked like. We wish the same for you.
I get you.
Well, you get me, and yet you ask me, what would you like? Hey, Ion, do you know what I might like if this tree that I would like now are gone? If I can't have these that I already have, is there any that I might like better? Well, yes. Which one? Do you know which ones I might like better? Come on, if we got to do it, then you're our pawn. You become the seed of Satan. We want you to come into your place of power. No wonder all these conspiracy theories. Oh, right. No wonder all these conspiracy theories of how the Luma fucking Nazis coming to get you. Maybe LaRouche was right. You lay off in these chains like this, and no wonder anything will slip along here and get you.
So if I say, like, my favorite tree is the horse chestnut, I would like it to remain in my realm, then that can be so.
You could create one better without the limitations. They don't bloom all year, do they?
No, they don't. I hate it when they die back, but so I could have them, would that be a deciduous horse chestnut that stays in bloom most of the year?
Of course.
But for that to happen, would the weather have to be the same all year round, a more of a warmer climate as opposed to the winters and the autumns that we have?
You're changing that too, so no.
Well, I've noticed with the changing of the weather, it's something that seems to have had quite a bit of success with so far this year.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, we would.
That seems to be the one thing about everything else that I can really see. It really gives me confidence in my power.
Yeah. Speaking of which, what do you think maybe about your power? Any questions about that?
I found that last year when I did the angel talk, listened to it, and I understood it to a point, but the way I tend to work is that I listen to this and then I put it away and allow it to sort of brew, if you like, and then come back to it at a time or timing when I feel I'm ready for it. And then, funnily enough, that was last night. I re-listened to it and I found a whole lot of things that I wasn't quite sure about, because I found my feeling place when I use Angel Talk. I was wondering that it wasn't sort of syllable style. It doesn't come like that from me. It flows almost what I call Russian, is how it sounds. It flows like that for me, and my mind is totally out of the way. And I subsequently re-listening to the Angel Talk, I realized that's fine. I found it. That is my feeling place. And to operate from there, it will work for me. It will be perfect. And that should enable me then with my power to gain confidence and use that. And hopefully set the angels onto more tasks, if you like.
So are you preaching or complaining?
No, I'm not. I've always talked to myself in a way. It's always been sort of frowned upon by people in society. You're a bit weird if you talk to yourself. I mean, I don't do it when other people are about, but I find I've always talked to myself ever since I was a child. And whether I was sort of just talking to my non-physical, and it just feels like a natural relax and allow position for me, which is what I kind of think that it must have been and is now.
That's all fine, but it's kind of boring. Let's talk about your physical meat pack, buddy.
That's been remarkable, Ion. A year ago, I had the trash taking out with yeast overgrowth, and I didn't really realize what was going on at the time, but looking back now, I can see it. That's exactly, that's what it was. It was detoxifying, but now I seem to be a really perfect weight. My muscles I'm just amazed at the way it's shaped out. It's incredible.
You're welcome. So your body seems to be working these days?
It's incredible. When I think of what the health issues I had, and there weren't any massive ones, but just little things like acid reflux and a problem with my knee and the onset of gout and one or two other sort of skin issues, they've all gone. The whole lot's gone.
It's just faith that you were falling apart.
Yeah, yes.
Your left quad. You know where your quad is on your leg? Put your hand on your left leg, yes?
Yeah, I've got it on there, yeah.
Okay, and you know where the quad is on the top? If you flex your leg, you know that little punchy part. They think it might be looking like a muscle of some sort. You know, that little punchy part, it sticks out a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just above the knee.
Uh-huh. That's called a quad.
Yeah.
You feel that?
Yeah.
Have you had any soreness, tenderness, or distension there?
Not with the quad itself, no.
Yes, it is. Please don't argue with us. It is your quad. It may be showing up in your knee, but it's in that quad. The
right.
An issue is right there. Now, if this were on the back of your leg, we'd be having a different conversation. You'd be crying with what they call sciatica. But this,
yeah, I've had that in the past.
We know.
A long time ago.
This is in the quad. So all we're saying is take a little bit of Renew and rub into that quad. That's all you need to do. And just don't, you don't do it every day. Like when you clip your fingernails, you know, because they grow faster now, don't they?
Yes, they do, yeah.
Okay, well, whenever you do that, rub a little Renew on that quad.